friend Andrew Nelms with Americans for Prosperity on the other end of the line. How you been, pal? Well?
Well, now that the legislature's out for the moment, yes.
Yeah. I was actually thinking this morning, I said, you know, I should do a bit this morning about Powerball rolling over. What would you do if you won the Powerball? And I figured, yeah, well, the answer is going to be the same everywhere. Leave Illinois.
Well, precisely. Or if somebody was feeling incredibly altruistic and wanted to donate the money to the state, you know, as immense as the sum is, it wouldn't even be a drop in the bucket towards our unpaid bills, for instance.
Yeah. But, I find people are really not interested in donating when it's already confiscated, you know.
Well, precisely. Exactly. When you know, the conversation at Springfield is about exactly how much more government will demand that people forfeit of their hard-earned money from their paycheck. But unfortunately, that's where we're at.
When we say it's bad, how do you define bad? I mean, I have a tendency to do it. I try to stay away metaphor now because the math is so substantial. But, I mean, S&P, I think one of the good ways yesterday, worst state in the union. I mean, if you hold up a mathematical fact to define the financial situation of Illinois, which one is in your mental catalog?
Well, gosh, there's so many to choose from, Tom. I just think that, you know, on an individual level, the fact that we all know people that have left. In fact, just in the last week, I've had two friends leave the state, one to Texas, one to Iowa. But, you know, the Census Bureau tells us that we're forfeiting more residents than any state in the union. United Van Lines tells us that we have the second highest outbound migration in terms of people that they help move. And that doesn't come as news to anybody. Just anecdotally, we all know friends, family, acquaintances, coworkers that have left the state, and frankly, with good reason. That the state of Illinois isn't giving people many reasons to stay. But then, as you say, there's also the mathematical facts, like the credit downgrades to just above junk bond status. So for years, we've had the worst credit rating of any state in the country. We now have the worst credit rating of any state in the history of the country. And the fact that we have the highest property taxes in the country, or the second or the third, depending on who you ask. But even the folks that say we're third, we're talking hundredths of a percentage point away from being the worst. You know, people understand this without even knowing the actual facts and figures of where we are in the rankings. People know that it's bad. People know that it shouldn't be this way, frankly.
Yeah, you know, the outflow here has the only time it's happened like this before is when the coal industry went in the tank. And, you know, I grew up in southeastern Illinois, coal mining, you know, such a big thing there. And literally my friends are, you know, well, going to Colorado. See ya. So now here's the question. We try to categorize the problem. We're trying to find a solution. The solutions that have been presented, in particular from the Senate, so onerous that most people, when they get a whiff of it, are going, are you kidding? Because they go about their lives and they try not to look at the bad news every single day because, you know, it's kind of hard on a person. But when you look at the solutions that are presented, you go, look, man, we live in some of the most poverty-ridden counties in the entire state, and you're going to increase our taxes like this much? I mean, it's unpalatable.
Well, absolutely. And what the Senate passed was a roughly $37.5 billion budget that relied on roughly $5.5 billion in increased taxes. They increased the state income tax on individuals by 32%, new taxes on a whole host of services. They broadened the sales tax to apply to things that it doesn't currently apply to. And,
borrow $7 billion.
And, oh, sure, and quite a bit of borrowing. And so what do they offer people in return? Well, frankly, nothing.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the problem. So Americans for Prosperity, where does your organization think we go next when it comes to developing a policy that can get Illinois out of this hole?
Well, we need to address the paramount concern on people's minds, and that's property taxes. We pay thousands and thousands of dollars more than the national average in property taxes, and these property taxes are levied exclusively by our most in the nation units of local government. And frankly, whether, again, talking anecdotally, talking to folks that are in our communities and ask them what frustrates them, property taxes will always be near the top, if not at the top of their list of frustrations. We know it from polling. We know it from having the question put to people in an election and a referendum. So there's really no reason why politicians refuse to do this. Now, the Senate last week passed a two-year property tax freeze, two different versions of a two-year property tax freeze that had so many holes in it, looked like a piece of Swiss cheese. There were exemptions for debt service and pension payments, and one of them applied only to non-home rule governments, one excluded schools. And so, you know, what people want is real, meaningful, lasting, long-term property tax relief.
Yeah, when you look at the average, Indiana's like $1,400 and Illinois is like $3,500.
Indiana, property taxes are capped at 1% of the value of the home.
See, and here in Illinois, it just keeps going. And like I said, you never own your home in Illinois. You never, ever own your home. Even after you paid for it, you still have to pay every quarter or every year, whatever, however you're paying your property taxes.
Right. Mine go to escrow. They're paying more in property taxes than they're paying in state income tax.
Right. It's interesting is hearing people say, you know, many states either base their income taxes on sales tax or property taxes, but not both. Well, Illinois is another thing altogether.
Well, here in Illinois, we basically have every single form of taxation possible. We have property taxes. We have a state income tax. We have a death tax. We have sales tax. We have a state motor fuel tax. We really have every sort of tax imaginable, and I think that that's part of the frustration, too, because you look at, so for instance, Illinois is always competing with New Jersey for the highest property taxes, and New Jersey is a wonderful case study. Much like Illinois, New Jersey is a wonderful case study in what a state ought not to do. So in the 1960s, New Jersey decided to face its crippling property tax burden. And so they implemented, I forget which was first. I believe they first implemented a state sales tax in order to reduce the crippling property tax burden. And that did not work. And so a decade later in the 1970s, they decided to implement a state income tax to deal with the state's crippling property tax burden. And that did not work. And so now you have New Jersey, which still has crippling property taxes, and they also now have a sales tax and an income tax. And so we see, we can look at a state and realize that simply adding new taxes and increasing taxes is not necessarily the way to confront a public policy problem.
I keep thinking in Illinois that they're waiting for tax reform in D.C., and if that happens, they'll say that's how much we'll raise our taxes, whatever the federal government gives
Tom, Tom, keep it down. Mm-hmm. We don't want to give anybody any ideas.
I think they already have the idea, Andrew.
Well, that's what happened, frankly, in 2011 when they temporarily increased the state income tax to 67%. That was part of the rationale because at the time a federal payroll tax reduction of 2% had gone into effect. And so the folks in Springfield thought, well, gosh, if we raise it 2% here and people get 2% back from the Fed, it's a wash and nobody will know the difference.
Right.
Well, I think people are smarter than that.
They are. And as I said, but here's the thing. They find things that work, they'll do them again.
Yes.
So, Andrew, this is going to be a long stretch here. You've got the election coming up. You need, of course, the supermajority going forward. So we've been told that, I believe, starting Thursday, public hearing in Chicago about the budget, which you would think that would have been done before, actually, the budget deadline. When it looks at moving forward, I don't see a light at the end of the tunnel that's not a train.
It's awful tough to be optimistic. The governor has suggested calling the General Assembly back in special session. And of course, per the Illinois Constitution, when the governor calls a special session, it has to be to address a particular issue. And so the governor would have to call a special session for the purpose of considering a budget proposal, for instance, or property tax relief. But the House is plodding along. As you say, they have hearings on Wednesday in Chicago, right, on the budget. And the word is that those Chicago budget hearings will continue through the month. And I don't know if part of that is to give the appearance of busyness, or if it's theatrics. I don't know.
Well, all I know is those people at the campus of SIU that are on the chopping block, and I hate using that euphemism. You know, they would like to believe that those are authentic and a sincere efforts being made, because we're starting to, I think everybody's feeling the bottom. I think they feel the bottom now.
Sure. And, you know, frankly, I don't blame people for feeling that way.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, to have gone now, you know, to be near entering our third fiscal year without a budget is an awful place to be, without a doubt. But, you know, here we have a majorities in the chambers of the General Assembly that frankly, are unwilling to have conversations with the governor about moving Illinois forward.